AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. And good news, Brett, that snow that's been falling the last about a few hours, real good snowball snow. Just FYI. I got something for you during the commercial break, just FYI.
Snowball fight, because that goes well with radio.
Oh, equipment. It does. Like I haven't done that before. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your snowy Tuesday in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Snow coming down at a pretty good hill. It looks like it's going to be going on till really the main bulk of it, about 10 o'clock tonight. Here's the thing, which was really weird. There was hardly any traffic at all, and the roads looked pretty great on 169 coming down here to the Palatial Broadcasting Complex here in Eden Prairie. There wasn't really too much in the way of traffic. Roads looked really well. I'm looking up on accidents right now. There's three of them currently working. One on 94 at LaSalle, 166, and then one working 35W northbound at 46. A few stalls out there, but not what you'd usually see with 8 inches of snow coming down, which means the plows have been able to get out there. It's relatively warm. I know it doesn't feel like it, but it's at that break point where as long as cars are going over roads, they're generating heat. It is kind of melting on its own. Plows are doing a great job. Just take it easy on secondary roads, your driveway and stuff like that. It's pretty slippery out there in some areas, and give yourself some extra time. Once again, the weather looks like it's going to be snowing until about 10 or so tonight. The winter storm warning goes into effect till, it stays in effect till 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. But by the time we wake up tomorrow, should all be done. So this is why I have kids, so they can go shovel. This is you figured me out. I'm a Minnesota guy. Plain, simple, easy bread. 952-946-6205. Well, just sit back, relax, because I got a great show for you. Molly Beckett a little bit to talk about the Supreme Court justice race in Wisconsin today and the way the weather's going to play on the voting and the turnout there. But joining us right now is the exceptional writer for MinnPost. It's Brianna Bierschbach, covers the Minnesota legislature, and she's kind enough to join us to talk about how things have been going over in St. Paul for the last few months. Hi, Brianna.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. Let's take a quick moment here. It would seem to me, and as a layman, I know there's a lot of issues that have been going on, but it seems to me that the main things that have been going on are obviously the sexual harassment issue and then the gun issue. Those have been the ones that at least gotten the most headlines up until this point. If we can just touch on really quick the sexual harassment up to this point, it has been very weird. There's the Democrats, especially behind Erin May Quaid, who had reported sexual harassment within the state capitol, have said that there has not been enough done. You have Tony Cornish, a guy that resigned because of allegations of sexual harassment and sexual assault. He basically resigned 4 months ago, shows back up clearly partially to kind of stalk Erin May Quaid a little bit, but as well as got Republicans welcoming back to the state capitol 4 months after he resigned in disgrace. And you have calls on why this is so difficult to get a sexual harassment policy in place. So talk a little bit about that issue up to this point. How have you seen it going on there?
You know, I do think, I mean, I've been going, the House in particular established a subcommittee of the rules, which is super wonky, and they haven't been well attended, frankly. They are bringing in experts, outside experts, and people to talk about ways in which the legislature already has what's already going on with the legislature's policy on sexual harassment and how it could potentially be better and what other workplaces do. But as was pointed out late last week, I think it was really a heightened moment with former Representative Cornish in the building. He was going to committee hearings and standing behind, I mean, several of the women who spoke out about him saw him there and clearly felt uncomfortable with his presence. And I think his presence in the building kind of goes to show how it's really the response to the Me Too movement and these sexual harassment allegations have kind of toned down a little bit. I think the fact that he could even feel comfortable to be back in the building and chatting with legislators and other legislators to even be seen chatting with him shows how the immediacy on this issue has sort of gone away a little bit. And I think that often happens with the legislature. They really act when there's a fire burning around them, and the fire isn't burning as hot as it was late last year when they weren't in session. Now, that's not to say they're not doing anything. Democrats did move to try to suspend the rules on the House floor and take a vote on a task force that would bring in outside experts and specifically make recommendations to the legislature. That vote failed. I do think we're going to be hearing more about some kind of broader proposal from Republicans in control next week. But there have been no votes taken yet, and there has been only informal meetings held. So I think that's where people are feeling frustrated, and they don't want to see this issue just have a window dressing treatment to it by the end of session. But it will be something that they continue to talk about, I think, in the next few months. The legislature's on spring break right now, but they come back next week, and I think we'll start to hear more about what it's actually going to look like in terms of a solution.
I will say, I mean, personally, I'm a little surprised that this is taking as long as it is. I worked at a radio station that was purchased by a large national group. One of the first things they did is they gave us a big handbook, a sexual harassment training. We went through that. Everyone signed the paperwork, and we're done with it. It seems pretty simplistic. Although, I mean, obviously, as any HR department will look at me, that nothing is simplistic. I understand that. Was there a fairness in – I want to be careful how I phrase this. There were some Democrats that felt after the first initial report that there was victim shaming going on by the Republican leadership and the first initial attempts at trying to put together some sexual harassment policy. Obviously, we can't dictate what individuals feel, but I mean, do you think that there was a fair argument to that, or is it something that they were? It's just a sensitive issue, and anything outside of a maximum policy was not going to go over well.
Well, you know, I think specifically what I know of where there was some sensitivity was the sexual harassment training that was made mandatory earlier, the day after legislators came in. I know there were several individuals who spoke publicly about the fact that the person who was picked to do the training was not, I think, didn't have more modern notions of you know, what is acceptable in a workplace. And that's part of the big conversation here, right? There's a generational divide on what is an acceptable environment to work in, and that young women in particular are starting to put their foot down and say, this isn't okay, and this, you know, I don't think that we should just brush off someone flirting with us over and over again. And flirting is even a controversial word because in this training, the flirting is a two-way thing, and people said, I know when I'm flirting back and someone's flirting with me. If someone's just coming at me over and over again and I'm not reciprocating, that's just unwanted advances, and that's harassment. And so I think that there's definitely a generational divide, and there's a sense that if the legislature is going to step up on this issue, they need to find someone who has a more modern sense of what harassment looks like, of what people are wanting to see changed in the legislature, because everybody's views are different on that. And I think to create a policy that will satisfy everyone, there has to be, you know, potentially different experts brought in. That's what I know of was sort of the sensitivity in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we'll see when the proposal actually comes out, if people think that they're doing enough, or if it's sensitive enough to people's concerns.
Brandon Beersbach from MinnPost joining us. Let's talk about the other issue, the guns. As you talked about the Me Too movement, if there is any wind that's left their sails, it has definitely gotten behind the gun control and gun reform movement, particularly because of the kids from Parkland, Florida, who have started a national movement. We had 20,000 people show up for a march here in Minnesota. There was well over 1 million people nationwide. This has gotten a lot of state legislatures across the country looking at gun control issues, but in Minnesota, it's, you know, putting aside Jennifer Loon's, you know, school safety issue, which and Governor Dayton's proposal on it necessarily, they're really, you know, they've asked for background checks, they've asked for, you know, potentially people that people that owe back child support not being able to get guns. None of these issues got even past a committee, you know, a table vote. They're all tabled and stopped. And a lot of people seem to be upset about this. Where is it stand right now? And are the Republicans basically just trying to find something that they can make it look like they've done something without really upsetting the NRA, which once again bankrolls a lot of Republicans?
You know, it's interesting. There was one hearing in the House on these two bills, as you mentioned, and that was only heard because of basically a fluke in the House rules that a Democratic member pulled up and said, "Hey, I you know, you have to let me hear these bills. It's kind of complicated." But that's the short end of it. And I think, you know, that got a hearing, which honestly is something that we haven't even seen in the legislature in a long time. And so I think people who want to see some kind of gun control changes were really excited about that, but also, you know, thought this means that they're going to take a vote on it. This means that there's actually going to be some action on it. It really just It had its one hearing, and then it was immediately tabled, and we're seeing almost no action in the Senate. And people, I think, don't understand necessarily the gun culture in Minnesota, and it's specifically in politics. It's really ingrained into state politics that Minnesotans are mostly sensible gun owners, and they would never, you know, you can't take them away because we would never hurt anyone. That's not what we would do. And I think really the pressures are starting to come in on that argument more and more. But it's a slow chipping away of that. I mean, we saw a handful of Republicans, only two or three in the House and Senate, showing willingness to vote for some measure this year, particularly universal background checks. I mean, that seems like almost nothing, but that's a colossal movement in terms of what we've seen on this debate in the past. I still don't think it means anything is going to go anywhere this year, but I think it does show the effectiveness of the students in this situation and how different this the movement is post this shooting than it has been in the past, where people just, legislators and politicians, said we thoughts and prayers, hopes and prayers. And, you know, I really just think that people are saying we can't just do that anymore. So it's a start, but it's probably not much is going to happen this year.
Well, and it's very interesting because you bring that up. You and I talked about the Sunday liquor sales. Now, once again, very different issue. But one of the things I said is, where in the heck is this level of interest in healthcare or education policy? Because it was everyone under the age of 30 could all of a sudden give me a laundry list of reasons why it was good, in their opinion, that Sunday liquor sales happened. This is what I'm seeing here is it's a very different issue once again, but you are seeing an engaged and active 30 and younger group of people who generally do not vote, are not really politically active unless it's a specific issue, and they don't seem to be willing to let this go away. Mm-hmm. There's got to be, as you say, maybe this year, but there's got to be some looking of concern by the Republicans that if all of a sudden you have a 20% increase in 30 and younger voters, that's going to change the makeup of a lot of things in the state as far as who's in charge of what.
Sure. I mean, yeah, definitely. I think the problem is no one really ever knows what the youth vote is going to be in any given election. I mean, usually it's high in presidential years. Usually it's not high at all in midterm elections, which is what we're looking at this fall. But yeah, if suddenly those voters were very motivated to come out, it would really shape the midterms differently this year. And that is what is being said. I know, I think Governor Dayton said it in a press conference, and I've heard other legislators say it too. You know, look, this isn't going anywhere this year. But you know what you can do if you're frustrated is you can go and vote these people out in the fall. So I think that is the message that you're starting to see. The activists who felt very defeated this legislative session are starting to turn toward the election, and we'll have to see. You know, I think much like the legislature acts when there's a fire, you know, underneath them, so do voters. So it has to be a sustained movement. And, you know, a lot of people are surprised how long the Me Too movement has sustained. And maybe this one will surprise people as well, as in terms of how long people stay engaged. And November at this point isn't that far away.
No, it's interesting. I'm going to talk to Molly Beck at the Wisconsin State Journal a little bit later on. She's saying that down in Madison for the Supreme Court race, there's a 50% turnout, which is up from 12% in the Madison. So, yeah, there's a lot more people that are interested. We'll have to see how that plays out in November. The other issues you talk about, once again, I want to drive people to your article. It's an excellent article that gives a great prepper course for what to look for in the rest of the legislative session. Minlars, the Republicans clearly want to make this an issue a la the Senate office building. I don't know if it's going to have the teeth to it, plus the fact that as opposed to the Senate office building, which is a, you know, a big anchor you can kind of scream at, this is an active system which needs to be working and operational. Hence, it doesn't have the ability for a politician to be able to, you know, talk about the great white whale per se. And so and talk about Minlars, because it does sound like there actually has been some movement to try to get that system fixed.
Yeah, you know, I think there have been, you know, Dayton has a plan and has been executing it through his new MNIT commissioner. And I think that they just need funding is their argument. We need more money to keep the people we have hired on and doing this work, because they can get better paying jobs in the IT industry elsewhere. we need the money to keep them here and working on this problem nonstop, because they're putting out a lot of fires. I think there are still a lot of, there's still delays in people getting their registrations renewed, and that's still a huge problem. And, you know, in terms of it being a, I don't know where it will go the rest of the session. I mean, they got $10 million after weeks of debate, and Dayton did say it was a good omen that they ultimately sent him a bill he could sign, and the funding is now in place. But, it, you know, I think how much political debate there was over that issue just to get the $10 million is a bad omen in terms of what it's going to be like to get $30 million. And Republicans are introducing bills to change the way the state does its IT contracting as well, to basically not abolish entirely, but get rid of, for the most part, the functions of the state's IT department and shop them out to outside businesses. So we'll have to see where that goes, but it's definitely going to be talked about for the rest of session. And I don't know. It's a good question. Does it have the teeth of the state Senate office building? I don't know that really the Senate office building was such a good crystallization of the Republican message in that campaign. You know, I think a lot of people are affected by the Minlar's registration system, but maybe not enough to kind of get a big movement going of people coming out to vote on Minlar's. You know, mm-hmm. they'd have to use it effectively in terms of trying to use it as this example of a bigger problem. And I haven't seen that yet. It's been such a wonky debate and very inside baseball at this point. We'll have to see if they do use it, how they message on that.
You know, and you're exactly right. I mean, the best way for them to do it is, well, just shut down the system till November and then get everyone angry. The reality is that you really can't do that. And the minute that people get renewed, they don't care about the issue. It's like, we're done with the issue. I got my tabs. I'm good. So we'll have to go there. You do touch on in your article bad drivers and the issues there and taxes. But one, the last area I want to focus on, in the bad drivers area, you talk about Dario Anselmo, who is a Republican in Edina. He's basically putting forward a bill about handheld devices while people driving, wanting to ban them, becoming one of the states to do this. That's his big issue, and that's a big issue the Republicans are putting forward. Jennifer Loon, I mentioned her earlier. She is being the point person out of Eden Prairie. She's the Republican who's the point person for what is, you know, a very underfunded, really, school safety bill. I mean, they would need to have $1 billion if they want to do what they're kind of suggesting with that. But they're putting her face out there. What I am seeing here is a Republicans realizing that they are in trouble. They're looking at the nationwide races. They look at that what happened out in that Senate district race where McNamara, a popular Republican, couldn't win that seat, even when there was a sex scandal there or a sexual harassment scandal. They're concerned about this, and there seems to be an effort by the Republicans to put vulnerable Republicans in the metro area as the face of specific issues. Is that, am I crazy on that, or does that seem to be their policy right now?
I don't think you're crazy. I do think it's a strategy that has been employed for a long time, and I think by both parties, frankly. I think you're seeing Republicans do it more right now because they are in the majority and they do have a lot more seats to defend, and they are going to have to defend, like you mentioned, in these tough suburban districts. I mean, they picked up more suburban districts than they were expecting in the last election, and now they have to defend these all, and they're going to try to gain seats as well. So really to find issues, I think, or find members particularly to carry issues that are very consensus building, right? Nobody likes drunk drivers, and Dario Anselmo is taking a bill that would basically allow the state to revoke your license for up to 10 years after a fifth offense, which isn't in law right now. And there's some pretty insane record-breaking drunk driving people with two dozen or more offenses on their record. So that's something a lot of people could get behind. And it is good. It's going to be a good slogan on the campaign trail. It's also just an election year session. So I think we always see so many bills come up that maybe even don't go as far as what we're seeing with Jennifer Loon and Dario Anselmo. But so many bills that come up that just so legislators can say, hey, I introduced that. You like that. You're my base. Vote for me. You know, they can say, I'm working on this issue. It's just a frenzy of bills right now that are clearly tailored toward a campaign slogan, whether it passes or not. That's what the idea is in mind. And it's hard as a reporter to sift through what is serious and what it might actually make it to the governor's desk or not.
Well, and the Republicans in the state did use social media in this whole big fallout with Facebook. They were using social media very effectively the last election. If that ability is off the table. They are definitely kind of frantic there. And, of course, once again, look at the districts. Eden Prairie, Edina, Woodbury, Wayzata. These are the wealthy suburban districts they are desperate to hold on to. And, you know, it does hurt their fundraising statewide if they're not the representatives of these big, wealthier districts.
Absolutely. I think they want to hold them. They've had Jennifer Loon's district for some time. And to her, you know, to the point about her, she is the education chair. So I think it makes sense that she would be taking on the school safety, you know, bills. But it also makes sense that they would put her on education. That's a great issue in the suburbs. So I think that there's reasons for everything, and both sides do it. But it's just kind of all part of the political play in a competitive election year.
I will mention not only you can find, I'll post the article that you just put out for MinPost there, but I do want to remind people MinRoast is coming up. When is that?
Yeah, April 27th. Oh my gosh, I should know the exact date, but I believe that's when it is.
Right. Well, I'll make sure I find out about it. We'll put a link up there as well for that. Go become a member of MinPost. It's a fantastic news source, probably the best news source in Minnesota, period. It is really hands down the best. And, of course, MinRoast is their big event they have coming up here towards the end of April. Brianna Bierspach, kind enough to join us. Brianna, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday where I'll interview former Minneapolis City Council member Don Samuels about his work as a community activist, entrepreneur, and now executive director of MicroGrants, a nonprofit that provides $1,000 grants for humans attempting to change their lives for the better. You'll be inspired, I promise. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective-changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Richard for Auto Technical. Since 93, I've picked up the donated vehicles, and the question I'm asked most often is, how do you pay the bills if you give away cars? Well, we have a fundraiser on Friday and Saturday. Vehicles priced from $1,500 to $4,000, reconditioned and ready to test drive. Help support our mission. You will be impressed by the quality vehicles. A good bet is Auto Tech. AutoTech.org.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks, Brianna. We'll spotlight that interview. Be up there a little bit later on for you to enjoy. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Apparently, I have to mention really quick here, a Minnesota business that's getting kind of not the good positive review. Mike Lindell, who runs MyPillow. Have you seen this? They do the ads all over the place, for goodness sakes. They got Care 11 exposed them. They got an F rating from the Better Business Bureau. they ended up having a major lawsuit against the company for consumers. I don't know if it was class action or not, but there was a major lawsuit. Anyway, Lindell is a huge Trump guy, loves Trump. As a matter of fact, was down in Mar-a-Lago with his girlfriend and his new haircut, and was down in the food apparently was delicious down at Mar-a-Lago. But one of the things he has done is the reason why he's kind of popped up in the news is that, you know, Laura Ingraham, this is the idiot on Fox News who basically decided to attack Parkland students after the massacre at their school, where they were, you know, basically had to watch classmates get gunned down and they themselves will probably never have a decent night's sleep again. But because these kids dare not to love guns more after the shooting of their friends, they have become public enemy number one by all these absolute horrible human beings. You are all horrible human beings for attacking the victims of a gun slaughter. Because they don't love guns. Really? Wow, you guys are all horrible. Anyway, in case you didn't see it, Laura Ingraham decided to get really picky with one of the kids, and they started a boycott of her show. Well, it's cost her and Fox News a ton of the sponsors on her show. They've all fled. But MyPillow, he's a proud Laura Ingraham supporter. Proud. I am not moving my ads. They're there. You can sleep tight. Sorry. You can sleep. I'm going to stand by Laura Ingraham. This is what Mike Lindell of MyPillow says. Dude, you know, you have the right to advertise wherever you want to do. Okay? If you'd like the rate card for AM950, I'd be more than happy to supply that to you. But you're more than welcome to advertise wherever you want to. And that's perfectly fine. That being said, you're standing by a person who attacked teenagers who had just survived a gun massacre because the kids weren't in love with guns. You know, there are some brave stances in this world. That's not one of them. All right? You want to do that? That's your right. You want to stand there? That is your right. But it is also, is that really the image you want with your company? That, you know, I want my company associated with the woman who attacked victims of a gun massacre because the victims didn't love guns more afterwards. That's the image you want to go with? Bon appetit. I don't know how well you are going to be sleeping. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A little later on, we'll get to Molly Beck, and we'll talk with her about the turnout. I mean, this winter weather is going to be interesting on the turnout for the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. We'll talk to Molly in a little bit and take your calls as well. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
This spring, the early bird gets more than the worm. They'll also get triple savings from Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. That's right, you can triple your savings in April when you purchase a new furnace and air conditioner. Go for the HVAC hat trick by saving up to $900 three times. Take advantage of utility rebates, manufacturer rebates, and April savings. April is the only month Standard Heating is offering the HVAC hat trick triple savings, so don't wait. Details at standardheatingdeals.com. Some restrictions apply. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for about 4 to 8 inches of snow today with a high near 29. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 8. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 28. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 36.
Cafe Latte is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They have a bakery specializing in fresh breads and desserts, including their renowned chocolate turtle cake. Plus, they have a large variety of box lunch items ranging from sandwiches to truffle plates. Cafe Latte is on Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hey, thanks to Todd Colad, who's sponsoring the radio station. We do appreciate that. He's a fan of the station, lives in Spain now, and he, of course, wanted to help the station any way he could because he listens to us over in España. All right, I'm gonna stop talking right there because you've literally got to the extent of I'm pretty bad when it comes to foreign languages. Anyway, as you can tell, hola, it is me. He, of course, is with the band Just Folk. Protest to Survive is the brand new video they've got out. There's a link to that on my Twitter feed and on the Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show page on Facebook. You can go watch that video. If you'd like to sponsor the show, you're more than welcome to. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. That's the office number if you'd like to find out more information on how you can sponsor AM 950 radio. And thanks once again to Todd for doing that. 952-946-6205. Okay, I'm intrigued. Gary is in Minneapolis, wants to chime in on My Pillow. Welcome in, Gary.
Yeah, you remember back 2010, I believe, when Dayton was running for that close race for governor?
Yeah.
And you did a great job of telling what Target did on the anti-gay stand and also trying to get Minnesota Forward to get elect Emmer, who didn't believe in it. He didn't even believe in minimum wage for anybody, I don't believe. And I really let Target know I was boycotting them back then. But they turned around. They got rid of Steinhofer, and they're leading the way working with the janitor unions, I was told, at a liberal meeting. So they're one of the better companies now. And now I heard a right-winger complaining about Target leading the way with transgender rights something like that. I shop there now.
All right, Gary, thank you very much. Thomas Steinhoffel. Oh, that clown. That could be the worst CEO I have ever. Well, no, Stumpf over at Wells Fargo gives him a run for his money. That's for sure. But no, God, yeah, Steinhoffel. Talk about a guy. Everything he did, I mean, he was the opposite of minus. Everything he touched went from gold to absolute dirt.
Wasn't he the guy you couldn't make eye contact with if you were an employee?
Yeah, he was the guy that basically shifted off, wouldn't let the clinic move near his house. I forgot about this. One of the first things he did was open up a distribution center in India, and he put his name on the distribution center. God, man, that was funny. No, here's the deal. You know, if whatever MyPillow wants to do, if they want to do that, that's fine. I'm just going to say I'm a little shocked by it because standing by someone who attacked the victims of a gun massacre because they don't love guns as much after the massacre as she thinks that they should, I don't know if that's the dance you want to go with. That's just me. 952-946-6205. All right. There is I got a bigger issue here, and part of what I consider to be my job as a host here is when I notice things within society, things within that are, you know, are you know, kind of, you know, trends that I see out there. I like to bring them up because I think that that there is an important level to that. I think that there is something of importance to that. What prompted me to basically bring this up now is just the more I've been around this, the more that I've realized that this is indeed definitively a problem. I have on this show talked about what I've called the new racism. And that's no way to basically diminish racism. Racism is ugly. It's been a scourge upon us as humanity ever since someone noticed that the other person was different. And I wish racism would go away. Racism is still very much alive, but it is unfortunately. But there is what I would call a new racism. And what I've labeled new racism, and I've talked about this in the past, is that people who are they don't really have problems with, you know, with people of minority. They have problems with people who are poor, which, by the way, because of the way our screwed up society is set up, is predominantly minority. But it is, they don't have a problem with their kid going to school with African Americans or Muslims or Latino kids. What they have a problem with is their kid going to school with poor kids. And I've talked about this because that is real. That is what really, I think, drives a lot of the white flight is not so much. I mean, sure, there's the good old fashioned traditional racism, but there is this undeniable element where it's this fear of their children being around poor people. They don't want that image. Don't think you can be happy and be poor, for God's sakes. That sort of thing. Well, there's a new one that I have come to realize is out there, and it is a god-awful problem. And once again, I am not trying to dismiss the old version of this, segregation. Segregation was horrible, and for God's sakes, it still exists. I brought up the financial issues. We are still dealing with a segregated society because of the financial setups and the redlining that happened in the 1910s, 1920s to basically keep minorities, predominantly African Americans, poor while basically benefiting the whites. That is undeniable. But there is a new segregation that's going on right now. It's alive and well, and it's something that really does concern me. And I've become aware of it because of my own kids getting to a certain age. As my kids got older, and you probably, if you've got children, I've got a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a soon-to-be 11-year-old. And if you've got kids that are anywhere in my age bracket or anywhere with a few years, you understand this. All of a sudden, things went from being expensive to being ungodly expensive. And I'm not talking about feeding because, my God, my 16-year-old boy, you know, Dad, is there another pot roast? Yeah, somewhere around here. Go ahead. But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to participate in activities, things have become more expensive. I'll give you a few examples of this. Baseball. My son plays baseball. He loves baseball. And all of a sudden, what was a $45, $50 fee to join a league, you know, you could go get some equipment, you know, relatively cheap. All of a sudden, turned 13, and all of a sudden that bat was $200. And all of a sudden the baseball bag was $60. And all of a sudden the batting helmet was $50. And these are the things you had to have. And there were obviously some donations made, but, you know, at the same time, it was kind of one of those things where my wife and I are, you know, we could afford some of this stuff. So we went out. We didn't, you know, we didn't feel a need. And plus the fact that we want people who are truly needy to get that stuff. But the reality is that just to participate, I mean, I would guess for my child to be in a year of baseball, I'm not joking when I say this, for a year of baseball, I'm going to guess the total expenses for my child would be at least $6,000 to $7,000 additional income we need for our son to be able to play baseball. And that's not the people, the kids that are going on out who are flying to Phoenix and flying to Vegas and flying to Miami each weekend to play on these major camp teams, these major teams. That is a different beast altogether. But funny, a lot of the kids that do that are the better kids that are playing on the higher level. Just to play at a medium level, you need $6,000 to $7,000 additional revenue for that one sport. Here's where I started realizing this is actually getting really bad. We were at a band concert, and I was talking to someone about some of the suburban bands, and the thing that she told me, she goes, that if your kid, and I'm not going to say what school districts, if your kid wants to be in the premium band in the school districts, this is not a sport, this is a band, all right? If your kid wants to be in the premium band at those school districts, white suburban school districts, I won't say which two they were, but if your kid wanted to be in that premium band, they had to take private lessons. So now my wife and I have given our children some private lessons when they started playing their instruments because we wanted them to be able to figure out how to play them. And, you know, you want to kind of encourage this. That's one thing that's gone well. We've done really well. It was $900 per kid. And those were cheap. That was cheap. That was $900 per kid for a year. And those were the cheap lessons.
900, really? That was nowhere near that when I took band.
It was $100. It's $100 a month, and those are cheap lessons. And I'm not. This is not. That's. It's. And that's no joke. It's $100 a month, and those are cheap lessons for a school year. That's $900. That doesn't include the instrument. That does not include the uniform. That does not include the band fees. It does not include the tours and the participation fees. It doesn't include any of that. It's $900 on top of that. Acting. I had a friend that we were into the city of Minneapolis. They have a school that was there. They were doing acting. To even be considered for the leads in the play, you had to be having taken acting classes since you were like two, and the leads actually had performed in major theaters in town. The days of you rolling on in there and impressing them with your voice, you can't even get considered for that unless you have a resume to go with it at 16. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. You think about, I don't care what sport it is. Basketball, track, softball, volleyball. Doesn't matter the activity, debate, the robotics team, chess club, for God's sakes. To be participating in a lot of these things nowadays, you need hundreds, if not thousands of additional dollars just to be able to participate, to be able to play at the top level in the band. Regardless of your ability, you have to have the money first, and then they'll factor in your ability. And sure, there's not a school district out there in the metro area that's not going to say, if a kid came to me and had real talent at debate or music or a sport, that they would, and they did not have the financial wherewithal, they would find a way to get that kid to participate. But the reality is, it's an inhibitor on the front end. When you're 10 and 11 and 12 and you start noticing these costs start getting more and more and more, and not only that, but then you have to drive your kid to practices and you have to drive your kids to games, and you know, or maybe you have to go to games, but you just drive them off at school, but you have to work. You have to wonder how your kid's going to get there, how your kid's going to get to practices. The reality is this system, go look and ask yourself the question, when you look at a sports team, if you're looking at a band, if you're looking at a theatrical group, ask yourself, is the cast, is the makeup representative of the minority makeup of the community? Is it? And then ask yourself the question, is the reason why it's not, because I almost guarantee you're going to look at that group and you're going to be like, wow, that's pretty lily white. Then the next question you have to ask yourself is, have we created a new segregation where basically if you don't have thousands of dollars to keep your kid every year in these events, in these programs, if you don't have that money, well, sucks to be you. Your kid's not going to be participating. 952-946-6205. Let's get Linda in Maple Grove in here really quick. She wanted to chime in on Pillow Guy. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Matt. First, I'd like to say I was shocked when I heard that my 13-year-old granddaughter's bat cost $348. I almost choked.
Yeah, that one got me, and, too. That one got me, too. Yeah, holy God.
And luckily, my 10-year-old granddaughter offsets it by being on a bowling league. But the My Pillow Guy, I watch Buzzer TV on the weekend sometimes, and he's got a commercial every 4 stinking minutes. And I finally texted him and told him that I found his cross placement always very off-putting. It always seems to just happen to be out of his shirt. And when he was there with pants, I looked to see, and he neatly has it tucked in with his shirt and tie. But I just thought, you seem like a hypocrite. You feel like, it feels like you belong in that group. So that was my thought about the Pillow Guy. And I hated his pillow. My granddaughter loved it. She sleeps on it now, but I didn't like it.
Well, you know, you can't hide the true colors, can you, on that one? Linda, thank you very much. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here. Let's get Molly back on the phone. I want to find out how things are going on in Wisconsin with that Supreme Court race. Are we going to see a continuation of the blue wave, or are we going to see the Republicans win the rare victory in 2018? 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
As Trump assembles a war cabinet, including John Bolton as National Security Advisor and Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State, as the U.S. continues to wage war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, and as Trump threatens war with North Korea, it is time to act. Stop the endless U.S. wars. Say no to new wars with Iran or North Korea. Join an anti-war protest on Sunday, April 15th, that is part of National Spring Actions Against Endless War. Gather at Hennepin and Lagoon at 1:30. March at 2 p.m. with a return to the starting location. As the doomsday clock is set for 2 minutes to midnight and the military budget grows, demand money for housing, education, and the environment. Join the anti-war protest on April 15th at Hennepin and Lagoon in Minneapolis. Gather at 1:30, march at 2. Initiated by Minnesota Peace Action Coalition. For more information, call 612-827-5364. That's 612-827-5364.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work, and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's time for spring cleaning. Wait, you weren't planning on getting your carpets cleaned this spring? Getting your carpets cleaned is not just about how your home looks. It's about your family's health with all the bacteria and allergens building up. That's why Zero Res uses their patented empowered water so you get a healthy and clean home without soapy, crunchy, dirt-attracting residue. This month, get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Breaking news, the YouTube headquarters in California, there's an active shooter situation in the California Bay Area at the YouTube headquarters right now. Not much is known about victims, not known much about the attacker, obviously a story that's going to be getting followed here pretty closely over the next few hours. But once again, an active shooter situation at the YouTube headquarters in California. 952-946-6205. Molly Beck is kind enough to join us. The Wisconsin State Journal. We talked with her last week about the upcoming election for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. That is going on right now. And Molly is kind enough to take a few minutes out of her busy day to talk about how things are going over there. Hi, Molly.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. The you had mentioned to me when I was talking to you about the interview about the fact that the turnout in Madison, in the Dane County area, Madison area, it seems very high. You were saying somewhere around, looks like around 50%.
Yeah, the Dane County clerk said that voters were on pace to have about 50% turnout today. And at about 11 o'clock this morning, there was about double of the number of registered voters who had come to vote, as was the case in 2016, the last time we had a competitive Supreme Court race. And that was also the year that we had a presidential primary, so there was also more of a reason for voters to come out that year too. So it looks like there's a lot of voting going on in the Madison area.
Well, and once again, this is, you know, dramatically higher than they've had in the past over in Madison, which is interesting. What are the reports? Obviously, we're here in Minneapolis. We're getting socked in with snow right now, which is stretching well into Wisconsin, the Eau Claire region, the northern part of the state. This is conservative territory, and this is a pretty heavy snowstorm right now. That's generally in the case has been in elections where they've had snowstorms, the voter turnout's pretty low. If the conservative areas are low, this could dramatically affect the race. Have you heard anything about away from Madison and the voter turnout there?
Yeah, I haven't seen too many reports from outside of kind of southern Wisconsin. I know that in Madison right now it's kind of sleeting, so the weather's not great, but there's not a bunch of snow on the ground or anything like that. But yeah, I know that watching Twitter and seeing kind of the politicos tweet about what people are thinking, and I see a lot of Republicans tweeting about, don't worry about the snow, please come vote anyway, and I don't see as many from Democrats.
Well, it's because right now, let's face it. As you and I talked about, with the way things have gone with the blue wave, as they're describing it here in 2018 nationwide, the Democrats, and you've mentioned it with Madison, they're showing up. And the last thing that, especially you and I talked, this race was going to be close. You wonder if the deciding factor is going to be if, 4,000 or 5,000 people end up saying, I'm not going to risk going on out because it's coming down at 8 inches, in a few hours out there. I'd rather stay at home. That could end up being the deciding factor in this race.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll be the weather or, the energy out there. I think, if you talk to some Democrats, they will say that there's a lot of energy and there's going to be more turnout on their side because of that, which might, have some sort of effect on, just what conservative voters are thinking is going to happen with the race, and that might have an effect on whether or not they choose to go vote or not. It's hard to say, how weather affects things or if it doesn't, or and how this energy isn't, how voters take that and how they, turn that out into turnout or not. So we'll see what's going on in a few hours now, four hours, the polls will be closed.
Well, and you'd mentioned last time, you said these statewide races, you have to, the bases need their individual districts to show up in force. And so, yeah, it will be interesting to see if the weather plays a role there. You did have a few VIPs enter Wisconsin to jump into this race a little bit over the last few days as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Former Vice President Joe Biden actually did a robocall for Judge Rebecca Dallet, who's considered to be the liberal candidate or the liberal-leaning candidate in this race. I know there's a lot of national attention. I saw that BuzzFeed is paying attention to this race pretty closely. I just saw some story they wrote about where to watch the results of the race, which is not something we've seen before in the state Supreme Court races in Wisconsin. So I think nationally, people are looking to see if this race is another, race like Pennsylvania or, those kinds of races. And I think some people in Wisconsin, some conservatives have said in recent days that don't take this race as meaning anything. Don't look at the results of this race as being evidence of the so-called blue wave. And there are other factors there. So.
Oh, yeah. All right. That tells me something right there. Okay. What time do the polls close over there?
8 o'clock.
All right. Tomorrow, let's have you come on back. We'll talk about what ended up happening with this race, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Molly Beck with the Wisconsin State Journal. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Restaurant of the week for eatlocalminnesota.com, Cafe Latte. Try the chocolate turtle cake. All their desserts are fantastic. Victoria and Grand in St. Paul, it is Cafe Latte, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Once again, we're going to get an update here at the top of the hour with the news. YouTube, the headquarters of YouTube, currently an active shooter situation in San Bruno, California. More on this story to come. McEntee is back. He is up in a few moments. Until tomorrow, see ya.